my pleasure to be able to present to you this work that was conducted at Kellogg Biological Station in Southwest Michigan. This work encompasses the body of my dissertation, and the idea behind it has come about over the years dealing with growers at the station. We work with organic growers and conventional growers. The interest in growers transitioning has increased greatly, especially since the label came in 2002. So there's big interest in the transition, but a lot of skepticism about whether or not they can stay in the black financially during that 3-year transition period. There's also grower interest in seeing maximum productivity basically for the bottom line during that transition period. So working with growers both at Kellogg Biological Station and back in 2002 at the Upper Midwest Conference, I attended the Organic University in Transitioning, where I got some ideas from growers there on how we can address some of these issues. So a couple of objectives come out of that. Pretty basic: develop a field crop management design for transitioning to organically farmed systems that produces high quality products while minimizing effect on yield. And testing two management systems' effects on soil quality, weed seed bank responses, and the associated economic viability. So in order to address those two main objectives, we put together an experimental design, two treatments, four replications, randomized complete block. These plots are 45 by 90 in size. The two treatments, I have initials TCA, stands for transitional corn alfalfa. These are 4-year rotational systems of corn, alfalfa, alfalfa corn with no manure or cover crops. And this transitional organic rotation of corn, soybean, wheat, alfalfa corn, in which we added manure before corn and wheat, and a cover of red clover between the corn and the soybean. Alfalfa was drilled into winter wheat in the spring of the third year. So here we are, spring 2003, coming out of an 8-year alfalfa field. We cut out the plots by mowing the alleyways to 30 feet. On the corn alfalfa rotation, we harvested the alfalfa and basically sold that off, leaving alfalfa standing in the more complicated organic rotation treatment. Using a chisel plow with 16-inch wide overlapping sweeps, we tilled that standing alfalfa in the transitional organic rotation, which killed it by clipping at the crown just below the surface. We then spread manure on top of that and incorporated that with the alfalfa, planting 93-day corn on the 3rd of June. This is 2003. This busy slide has a few things I want to point out. We initially wanted to compare, because of the economics and it's a 4-year rotation, that we would start a conventional system of corn on the corn alfalfa treatment for the first year, and we started our transition for the more complicated rotation that incorporated the manure. So when you look at this baseline, this blue line here indicates the transition period for each treatment. This one began last prohibited substance was a potato leaf hopper application the previous year. This is last prohibited substance for the the corn alfalfa corn rotation. Also notice, I don't want you to look at all the details right now, but this system is much more complicated, a lot more going in the ground, back and forth with machinery, et cetera, et cetera. The other thing I want you to notice is 2006, both treatments were in the certified year, and they were both treated the same for this corn crop in 2006. Some of the measurements that we took in order to meet our objectives for yield, soil quality, and weed seed bank responses are included here. Intact soil cores for bulk density, water-filled pore space, aggregate distribution. And on the third year, we looked at weed field density assessments in conjunction with a greenhouse weed seed germination assay to look at weeds that are in the seed bank versus their responses in the field. The last year we continued the weed seed germination assay in the greenhouse, and we did actual above ground biomass for weeds in the field in 2006. First year corn yield, I'm comparing here two harvest methods. On the left is a two-row combine where the two treatments didn't differ significantly from each other. The other method is a quadrat hand harvest method that we just all do automatically. I thought I'd show both of these methods just to show that there was a difference using the quadrat method. But we pretty much met the regional average for corn yield for that year for our region. Second year bulk density and water-filled pore space. We're comparing here on the left side 0 to 7 centimeters, on the right side 7 to 25 centimeters. No actual significant differences in bulk density for either depth between the two treatments. Water-filled pore space did differ between the two treatments, probably attributed to the incorporation of that standing alfalfa and the manure. Aggregate size distribution, 0 to 7 centimeters. In all size classes, from 0.053 millimeters up to 2 millimeters, we didn't see any differences between the two treatments, which we really didn't expect after 1 year of management differences. So looking at that a different way, these two treatments were nearly identical in aggregate size distribution. In 2005, we had the idea to split the complicated rotation. For economic reasons, we wanted to test whether harvesting as forage, the combination of wheat and alfalfa, would have an economic impact as compared to simply harvesting wheat as grain that year. So we made that split in 2005, and from that point on, we basically are looking at three different treatments. This greenhouse assay methodology, starting in 2005, prior to that split, 10 cores taken within a 25 by 25 centimeter quadrat at three locations, 0 to 7 centimeters, pooled and homogenized the cores, spread on greenhouse flats, watered them regularly. Emerging seedlings were identified and counted, all species separately. After complete emergence, soil was dried, stirred, rewatered, and started again until that mini seed bank was exhausted. This is a picture of the greenhouse array. Also, simultaneously in the field, rather than doing just an eyeball visual assessment of density, what we did was place a 1 meter square quadrat in the exact same location on a weekly basis and take digital photos using the same height of a tripod weekly throughout the growing season. We didn't assess anything, we just put the files away till the season was over. At that point, using a software package, we assessed density. Basically, this red crosshair that you see runs across the image and stops at 1,000 points throughout. And you're basically telling that package whether you're hitting the crop, whether you're hitting soil, or whether you're hitting weeds. Doesn't do it for you, so it's still a lot of work, but it's a nice tool because you're removed from the field, you can do it at your leisure, and you're looking at 1,000 points, which is pretty identifiable. I think it's a little more accurate than trying to do just a visual assessment. So we did that throughout the season. This is the organic rotation, the more complicated rotation. Green line represents the crop. Here's the split when the forage was harvested. Black line represents soil, and the red line represents weeds. Notice about the last week of May was our maximum weed density coverage in the field for this treatment. Oops, go back. This one. Okay, the other treatment, corn alfalfa, same idea. Again, we hit maximum weed density at that same time. Keep that in mind. Over here is our first cutting. So a lot of data to look at in the germination assay. Again, we had all species identified, but trying to figure out how to look at this data, what we did was separate grass weeds and broadleaf weeds and just categorize them all together. '05 is when I did that that rigorous sampling for weed seed bank. These '04 bars, I had some 0 to 7 soil left over from bulk density that I used just to compare. So I want you to focus on the '05 data, where the corn alfalfa treatment had significantly higher grass weeds than any of the controls, but not different from the other treatment. But the broadleaf weeds were significantly greater, both of the controls as well as the corn alfalfa treatment. Another way to look at this, what we did when trying to decide how to manage these data, we took the total weeds germinated in the assay, total number, versus the maximum percent cover in the field. Remember that time, that single time at the end of May when both treatments had maximum weed percent cover in the field. Just plotting these against each other, they tend to cluster by treatment in a way that we probably shouldn't expect. So the organic rotation had higher percentage of weeds germinating in the assay with lower percent weed cover in the field, and the reverse was true for the other treatment. More weeds in the field with less in the assay. So not very intuitive just looking at it, but if you remember, at this point, the organic rotation has an intercrop of alfalfa in the wheat. And we just think that was extremely competitive against the weeds. Although there's plenty of seeds in the bank, they were just not being competitive at all. Okay, quickly some foraging grain yield. First cutting, big difference using that wheat alfalfa mix. Second cutting, no difference. And this is the grain harvest. I doubled the assay for 2006 and looked at the distribution of the top six weed species found in the field. This is biomass in the field versus those same species in the assay. And what stuck out was this large crabgrass group. So we looked at that a little closer. Total number of crabgrass germinated versus that in the field. Looks like we have a relationship, but when you break it down by treatment, that relationship is all explained by this forage treatment. The other two, not very predictable. I'm going to skip over this slide. Basically, none of these were significantly different and had no effect on the yield of the corn for the last year, because I want to get right to the money shot. So remember, I sold that alfalfa at the beginning, so I got basically two crops here. That's the major difference for the first year. These losses are both due to alfalfa, poor establishment of alfalfa in both treatments, where we had to replant. So keep in mind, that's kind of a worst case scenario. We lost money due to replanting. But you look at the whole 3-year transition period, and we're still in the black for all three treatments. Significantly more net profit using that forage complicated rotation treatment. If you look at that in a 4-year perspective, including that certified year, they come a little bit closer together, but we still have this forage treatment coming out on top. So in conclusion, management differences between treatments had little effect on soil quality parameters after the first transitional year. Large crabgrass produced both high numbers of seedlings in the greenhouse as well as significant biomass in the field. But any predictability was entirely due to that TORF, the forage treatment. Differences in agronomic methods during the 3-year transitional period had no effect on corn yield for the first certified year on any of the three treatments. And this TORF, the complicated 4-year rotation harvested as forage, had the highest profit margin for the 3-year transition period. So a lot of people contributed to this project. I'd like to thank them now, as well as my funders, which Project Green is a grower-supported organization in Michigan, and the Michigan Ag Experiment Station. Thank you. No, not until the 4th year. Well, yeah, technically, I mean, the 3rd year was very close with the wheat. I could have, you know, I was off by a matter of days with that. So, but I didn't. I went worst case scenario on that. I also, since you mentioned that, the whole enterprise budget included all inputs, labor, machinery, but did not include land rent. So that's kind of across the board. My actual hypothesis was that the responses, the seed bank would be higher, but the responses would be lower in the complicated rotation, which seems to have played out.
What we've seen in our longer rotations is actually we're finding higher weeds.
Higher weeds in the field. Yeah, so the alfalfa, I think it was the combination of alfalfa wheat that outcompeted the weeds. The alfalfa, if you notice, wasn't a great stand. So it was probably more the wheat competing with the early weeds, and then later alfalfa finally picking up the slack. That's my guess. Yeah, this is a good question. I can look at that a little more closely. There's a lot of things that I could do, but I think if you look at the price, if you're looking at strictly profit, that rotation was $50 to $60 more an acre. So I'd have to do the math. It was about, you know, there's two applications. One was 13 tons, one was 8 tons. And it was, you know, it would depend if it's an on-farm resource versus a, and we played it as an on-farm resource because it was for us. But, you know, in our case, I think it was worth it. The one piece of the puzzle that's missing that I was hoping somebody would ask is where's the soil quality parameters post-transition? And I'm working on those. So that might help answer that question. If I have better quality, you know, maybe I have higher aggregates in that treatment, then I think for sure it'd be worth it, especially since you're making more money. As a matter of fact, it was a farmer recommendation, but we were hoping to get more than one cutting off of it. We had a poor establishment, which delayed it, and then actually we got two cuttings, but the second cutting was pretty insignificant. We were hoping to get three cuttings out of it. And the idea was similar to what Kathleen just said, that for weed suppression. And that you could get one year's worth of alfalfa out of it, but yeah, that's a good point. I don't know if that was actually worth it. It seems to have been worth it in the final revenue analysis, but yeah. So I got that recommendation from an organic grower in Minnesota, who said I should try that. It sounded like a good idea. So. If it had been better and I didn't have to replant alfalfa? Yeah, good question. I could easily do the math on that, to just subtract the cost of replanting the alfalfa on that. I think that the corn alfalfa rotation would have come up better, which means all that work might not have been worth it in the end. You know, if that was a good established stand, we'd have more alfalfa to sell, and that was my biggest loss, was in the corn alfalfa rotation with that with that missing, with that replant. So I would have had bigger profits for that corn alfalfa, and that may have been insignificant differences between treatments, which would tell you, yeah, don't bother wasting your time with all that effort if you don't need to. Does that answer your question? Okay.